Title: Los Angeles, Part 1. Jack Parsons, the rocket scientist who invoked gods in the Arroyo Seco. Description: Before Mars rovers, before Voyager, before the space shuttle's white boosters lit the Atlantic sky, six men crouched in a dry riverbed north of Pasadena and bolted a Coffican engine to a sandbag. The chemist who made the propellant work had no college degree, ran a Thelemic magical lodge out of a Pasadena mansion, and tried to incarnate a goddess into the material world. The Jet Propulsion Laboratory grew out of his Arroyo. JPL has spent 80 years pretending he wasn't there. Poi. Lat. 34.2014. LNG. -118.1719. Address: Devil's Gate Dam, Arroyo Seco, Pasadena, CA. Drive-by viewpoint near the original 1936 Galsit rocket test site, 2 miles uphill from the JPL main gate at 4800 Oak Grove Drive. Listen mode: drive-by. Order: 1. Duration: 11. Word count: 1380. Is free: true. Has audio: true. Audio URL: https://caaecdardevlosangelesjackparsonsjplmp. #script. You're driving up Oak Grove Drive in Pasadena, climbing toward the foothills. Look right. The riverbed opening up beside you is the Arroyo Seco, dry, stony, scrub oak and sycamore stitched through with a concrete flood channel. Up ahead, that pale concrete wall holding back nothing but air and gravel? That's Devil's Gate Dam. And just past it, behind the guarded fence, sits the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. This is the place that lands rovers on Mars. That flew Voyager out past Saturn into interstellar space. Crown jewel of NASA. Crown jewel of the American century. There is a tidy founding story painted on the JPL website. A handful of bright graduate students. A modest research project that grew into a national laboratory. Clean. Academic. Respectable. It is not a lie. It is just missing a person. The person who actually made the rockets fly. And the part of him the institution most needed to bury. # the Suicide Squad. So who do you put at the founding of American spaceflight? Walk back to Halloween, 1936. Six young men carry a small motor down into this same arroyo, about a mile from where you're driving right now. They tie it to a sandbag in the dry wash. The motor is the size of a coffee can. The fuel is methyl alcohol and gaseous oxygen. They light it from a distance using telephone wire and a car battery. It runs for 3 seconds. Then the oxygen line whips loose, ignites the test stand, and the men sprint for cover. Nobody dies. They come back the next weekend and do it again. The leader was a Caltech graduate student. The man who mixed the propellant, who understood how a controlled explosion could become a controlled thrust, was a self-taught chemist from Pasadena named John Whiteside Parsons. Jack, to his friends. He had no college degree. He had been working at a powder company making dynamite for a paycheck. He had taught himself rocketry out of pulp science fiction magazines. Caltech hired him because none of their credentialed chemists could solve the problem he could solve. The group called themselves the Suicide Squad because their experiments kept catching fire. The photograph that survives shows young men in shirt sleeves crouched in the dirt next to a metal contraption no bigger than a thermos. That photograph is the actual founding moment of American rocketry. And you are looking at the ground in your windshield right now. # the castable grain. By 1942, the United States was at war, and it needed rockets fast. Specifically, it needed solid fuel boosters that could lift overloaded military aircraft off short jungle airstrips in the Pacific. The Germans were ahead on everything. The Americans had a problem. Parsons solved it. He worked out that if you mixed potassium perchlorate with an asphalt roofing tar binder, you could pour the slurry into a steel casing, let it cool, and end up with a stable, storable, predictable propellant that burned at a controlled rate. It was the first castable composite solid rocket fuel in history. Now think about what's flown on that chemistry. Every solid booster strap-on to the rockets going up tonight from Vandenberg, an hour west of here. The twin white pillars on the side of every space shuttle. They all descend in a direct technical line from the mixture Parsons cooked up in a Pasadena garage. He patented it. He co-founded a company to manufacture it. By the end of the war, his propellant was saving Allied pilots in the Pacific on a daily basis. And here's the line nobody at JPL ever wants to print on the tour brochure. The German engineer the Americans imported after the war, the man whose name is welded to the moon landing in every textbook, when he was asked who the true father of the American rocket program was, he did not say himself. He said Jack Parsons. # the other half of him. Now here is the part the official story cannot find a polite way to tell. While Parsons was solving propellant chemistry by day, he was running a Thelemic magical lodge by night. Thelema is the religious system founded by the British occultist Aleister Crowley, the man the British tabloids called the wickedest man in the world. Parsons led the Pasadena chapter out of a rambling mansion on Millionaire's Row, the stretch of Orange Grove Avenue lined with old citrus money. He performed elaborate ceremonial invocations. He wrote ritual poetry. And he recited Crowley's hymn to Pan before every rocket test he conducted in this arroyo. That last part is not legend. The Caltech students confirmed it in interviews decades later. Before he lit the propellant, Parsons would stand in the dry wash you're driving past and chant, "Iopan, Iopan, Iopan Pan." To Parsons, none of this was a contradiction. The rocket and the ritual were the same act. Both were precise sequences of operations designed to produce a specific transformation of matter. Both required absolute discipline. Both reached past the visible world toward something larger. In the journal he kept toward the end of his life, the manuscript later published as "Freedom is a Two-Edged Sword," he stated it as flatly as he ever stated anything, "I am not interested in religion, but in magic, which is a science." Read that line again. He did not see two careers. He saw one. # the erasure. Then how does a man who wrote that sentence vanish from his own laboratory? By 1948, Parsons had been forced out of the propellant company he co-founded. By 1950, the FBI had revoked his security clearance, citing his occult affiliations. On June 17, 1952, he died in an explosion at his Coach House laboratory on Orange Grove. He was 37 years old. The official report called it an accident. The people who knew him were not unanimous about that. When JPL produced its official 50th anniversary history in 1986, Jack Parsons appeared in a single paragraph. When the institutional materials list the founders of American rocketry, his name is often left out entirely. For decades, the standard answer to who founded JPL simply walked around the man who had mixed the propellant. Why? You can probably guess as you sit at this red light. You do not put the man in the black robe on the Pentagon brochure in 1948. You quietly take him out of the photograph. You let the obituaries describe him as a minor explosives technician. You wait 50 years. And by the time anyone goes looking, the institutional memory has been overwritten. His old colleagues at JPL knew what had happened, and they joked about it among themselves. They said the letters JPL stood for Jack Parsons Laboratory. # the hidden layer. Look up the hill at the JPL gate as you pass it. Mars rovers. Voyager, now nearly 15 billion miles from this dry creek bed and still transmitting. The deep space instruments of the Webb telescope. None of it flies without a controlled, predictable, storable rocket propellant. None of it. The entire enterprise rests on a chemistry problem solved in 1942 by a self-taught chemist who chanted to a horned god before he flipped the ignition switch. So here is the hidden layer worth carrying with you as you drive on past the dam. The clean rationalist origin story the technical establishment loves to tell about itself, the credentialed engineer disenchanting the universe one equation at a time, is a story we have been selling for 80 years. Was it true at the founding? It was not. The founding actually looked like a barefoot occultist standing in this Pasadena arroyo, invoking Pan over a coffee can rocket motor, and then driving home to a mansion full of artists and seekers and FBI informants. The rockets still work. The probes are still flying. And the man whose hands actually mixed the fuel believed, until the day he died, that the launch and the ritual were the same gesture aimed at the same sky. Drive on past the gate. He has been standing in the margin of his own laboratory for 70 years, waiting for someone going by to notice he was ever here.